This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
A Monday edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Step away from the local sports scene momentarily to talk Super Bowl 51. And if you're unable to watch the big game on Sunday, no worries. We got you covered right here on KOAL. We'll have live coverage and then the play-by-play call, courtesy of Westwood One. We're going to bring in a special guest who has joined us on the show before. He's with SB Nation Radio in Miami, and he's covering the Super Bowl. Going to be on Radio Row throughout the entire week. He is Brad Johnson. Brad, it's great to get you back on. It's been a while, but I appreciate you taking out the time for us.
Thank you, my friend, for having me. It's always a pleasure, and like you said, I'm enjoying the cozy confines of the Marquis Marquand right downtown in Houston. Just first day, really, for us, media pundits. A lot of people flew in yesterday, but we are here, and we've had our very first opportunity to get Radio Row this morning.
Yeah, you're definitely a busy man. I mean, you're right there. You talked about being Radio Row. You guys are going to be there all week long. What is the vibe like this year for Super Bowl 51?
Well, as you know, the Houston franchise has been taking hits lately for the past couple of years, so it's good, because if you're a Houston Texans fan, you're frustrated. The Brock Osweiler deal has left a sour taste in everyone's mouth this season, the way it has ended the past few years, one and done in the playoffs. So to have a Super Bowl here, if you're an NFL fan, the city of Houston definitely welcomes it, and so do the businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess that's the perks of getting the Super Bowl, no doubt about it. We could start by talking a little bit about the game. I know we have all week to do that, and I know you're going to be doing that on Radio Row. So before we dive into that, your schedule for tonight, I know you guys will have team media night tonight at Minute Maid Park, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's kind of what we're all doing. It's the calm before the storm. I just got out of the hotel restaurant. It was very, very packed, so some people will go back to their rooms and take a nap. Some people will kind of mosey around, but it's very interesting. As you guys know, it used to be called Media Day, which means, really, we should be doing this right now. But because of TV ratings, it is now Media Night, or how they have coined it, Opening Night. And that is because you can now watch it on television live as it's happening, and if you are in the Houston area, you can actually attend it as well. The Falcons are up first. They will begin promptly at 7 o'clock and end at 8, and then the Patriots will come on in prime time from 9 to 10. So everyone will get their first look at Matt Ryan and then their first look at Tom Brady and company as well.
Obviously, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, those are the two that will continue to pull the storyline throughout the week. But I got to tell you, Brad, I want to get your perspective on this. I love the idea of Dan Quinn going toe-to-toe with Bill Belichick. Here are two coaches coming in on the opposite ends of the spectrum. To me, this is a fascinating storyline.
Well, you know, I was saying this on my radio show this morning. We can hashtag 2017 as never done before. We've got a president who doesn't have any experience and no history in the White House, and he won it. We have a general manager now of the 49ers who has no experience of being a general manager or coaching and is now the general manager. And so why can't it be a guy who's not had a Super Bowl winning experience or a Super Bowl team or Super Bowl or a Super Bowl quarterback behind him without any experience and win it? So, you know, should I say it's not too far-fetched, but I'm the type of guy who says I will take experience over talent any day, because experience knows how to deal with talent, and so I'll stand by that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and I'm really curious to see what Bill Belichick is able to do gearing up against Dan Quinn in this offense. Of course, Kyle Shanahan is another storyline that we're going to be able to talk about, I know, throughout the week as he's entering his final game, you know, as offensive coordinator with the Atlanta Falcons. Yet, with all this being said, in your mind, what is the top storyline that you've explored so far this week?
Well, it's more of a a crossover or something that's just been hanging around, and that is the revenge tour that Brady is on. Is this Will Goodell look him in his eye? You know, what does this mean for Tom Brady to be there for the seventh time, to have the most in history? Once that's done, is he winning this because of that, or is he winning it because of the revenge tour that he has worked with Goodell? So a lot of people are waiting for tonight, because if you didn't see on Twitter earlier, or if you happen to miss the news, Tom Brady's father made a comment about Donald Trump. He made a comment about Roger Goodell and a couple other seasonal topics, and he said, "I have put a ban on my father talking to the media." Now, I don't know about you, my friend, and I know neither of us are Tom Brady, but can you force your father to do something?
No.
I know if I told my dad he was not allowed to do something, he would look at me and laugh. But again, I'm not Tom Brady, and neither are you, so maybe the roles are exchanged in that family dynamic, but that is a pretty big story today.
Again, our guest right now is Brad Johnson of SB Nation Radio Miami. You can follow him on Twitter at B Johnson Radio. He's also co-host of the Sports Bosses right now on Radio Row. He's down there in Houston getting set for the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, going into the playoffs, Brad, there was a legitimate chance that the Dallas Cowboys would be the representative coming out of the NFC. Has that affected the enthusiasm behind Super Bowl 51 in Texas?
Oh, yeah. I mean, trust me, even if you were a diehard Texans fan, you were rooting for the Cowboys because you wanted the opportunity for it to be a Patriots-Cowboys showdown. There have been Boston media writers, one in Dan Shaughnessy, who wrote an article to the city of Atlanta saying, "Hey, look, nothing against you guys, but you have nothing going on with your city. There is nothing exciting about this matchup. There's nothing sexy in ratings or anything about this Super Bowl." And, you know, that is what a lot of people think. But I think the overlying element of this is not who they were playing, but if Tom Brady can win and get it back to Roger Goodell. Look, if they ended up playing the Cowboys, yes, it would have been a better matchup for ratings, I feel. But again, the overlying story, I think, would still be if Tom Brady wins, how does he stick it to Roger Goodell? What does he do?
Yeah, that's been one of those questions that I know that people have been asking. I think this was all started by Joe Thomas, if I remember correctly, last year, basically really bringing it to light, saying, "Look, Tom Brady, I want to see Roger Goodell hand the trophy to Tom Brady." I think that's a storyline that both of us will be sick of by the time we reach Sunday.
Right, and you know what? And here's the thing: if it does happen, then hopefully it can be put to rest, but we know that will not happen, because then they will go back and revisit, and we'll be talking Deflategate once again if the Super Bowl is won and how wrong it was and how ineffective it was. I was looking at a tweet earlier, and it seems like the Cardinals got less of a punishment for the tampering with the Houston Astros scouting report online, the hacking of that, than Tom Brady did.
yeah, they give up two draft picks. I mean, that's it. They're two earliest draft picks. Tom Brady gets a 4-game suspension.
Yeah, and $1 million fine and draft pick. So
right,
it's like, you know, wow, you know, that guy really did have it out for him, and I think he picked the wrong time and the wrong person to do it again. And not just Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell's office, the NFL's office of discipline, of punishment, they're the ones who are really feeling this more than Roger Goodell.
Let's talk numbers, X's and O's here for just a moment. It's the second time in NFL history that both conference championship games were decided by 19 or more. We'd have to go all the way back to 1978 for the last time that happened. We have Atlanta, top-ranked offense, putting up about 34 points a game going up against New England. One of the top-ranked defenses at just 15.5, 15.6, something like that, points per contest. Typically, when you have an offense versus a defensive showdown, Brad, it typically favors the defense a little bit in the big game. Typically, it does.
Well, you know, I was looking at an interesting stat earlier this week or earlier last week, and in 2003, the Patriots were first in points allowed. In 2016, now, they're first in points allowed. Their shutout by Buffalo was their first loss in 2003, and their shutout in 2016 was their first loss. So there's so many different comparisons. The records of being at 16-2, the fight being there. But here's the biggest number I want you to look at when we're talking about all these stats next and O's. Tom Brady is 7-0 against the Atlanta Falcons. 7-0. Now, I know that all those teams weren't a Matt Ryan driven offense with Julio Jones and the things the things that molded them to this number one offense. But I have a big problem with that statement. Numbers never lie. 7-0 is hard to go against. I don't know about you, but that's hard to go against.
No, it definitely is. It definitely is. Now, you bring up Julio Jones, and I don't shy away from this on air. I love Julio Jones. I have for years. I'm trying to think the last time we had a player that was this dynamic in the Super Bowl, because Julio Jones is a once-in-a-lifetime type talent here, Brad. I mean, he really is. I can't wait to see what he has for us in the Super Bowl. When's the last time there was a receiver in your mind that could match the athleticism of Julio Jones in a Super Bowl?
You know, when you go back and you look at it, I was thinking maybe the last time the Patriots were in the Super Bowl, they had to go against a pretty strong running back in Marshawn Lynch, and his explosiveness and his power, where he could rip off something for 60 or 7 yards, and they were able to limit him offensively even towards the end of the game, where they decided, we all famously remember, he didn't get the ball. And I'm hoping that in Atlanta's case, if they are in that situation, knowing that the defense will be drawn to Julio Jones, he will be in double coverage with the safety coming over the top every single play. I hope, though, if they're down in the red zone and they have an easy pick play, they go to Julio Jones and don't go away from Julio Jones because of that reason right then and there. I really hope that they would have learned from Seattle's mistakes. When it's time to go to get your money, you go to your money man, and he is definitely their money man.
Last question before I let you go. I'm so glad that we get to see Chris Long in the Super Bowl. This is a guy that played 8 productive years in St. Louis. He was on a horrible team his entire career, signs a 1-year deal at like $2 million to play in New England this season, says in a radio interview earlier this week he would have played for $5 this year just to have a chance at a ring. I'm sure this is definitely one of the individuals that you're looking forward to speaking to at Media Night.
Well, you know, yes and no. Actually, the guy that came in who we're definitely most interested in speaking to, he is one of the guys. But Martellus Bennett is one of those same guys like Chris Long. He came in. He has never won. He has never been in the playoffs, never been in a winning team. You know his history. He comes to New England. The injury to Rob Gronkowski happens. Martellus Bennett steps in and just starts to produce. He's scoring touchdowns. He's hamming it up with the media. He is being about as unpatriot in the locker room and with the media than anyone else that we've seen since Randy Moss. Now, Chris Long is great. He's a good guy. You know, he's NFL royalty, being Howie's son. He does what he's supposed to do on the field. But as far as production goes, a guy who really got lucky on a deal, it's Martellus Bennett. And I cannot wait to hear what he has to say on me tonight, because he was probably one of the only guys. Remember, if you're looking for a soundbite from the New England Patriots on media night, that's probably not. You're going to be sitting around and waiting for a while. Bill Belichick has that locker room about as tight-lipped as it can get. So if you want to look for the funny soundbites, there's one guy that you're going to get it from. That's going to be Martellus Bennett. The other, if you're looking for that, you need to go to the earlier session with the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, Brad, I know you're a busy guy. Again, you're right down there in Texas getting set for a big night, media night at the Super Bowl. I really do appreciate you making time for us here on the show. Have some fun and try to enjoy the time. Don't work too hard while you're down there.
Okay, my friend. Thank you so much.
You too, Brad. I appreciate it. Again, that's Brad Johnson of SB Nation Radio Miami. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter, at B Johnson Radio. And again, he'll be covering the Super Bowl all week long. He's going to be on Radio Row. Fantastic stuff from Brad. We've got a break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.